We're staying on top of two breaking stories. First, a sheriff's deputy killed in a crash involving a tractor trailer. We're talking with the people who arrived on scene right after it happened. Then, a suspected armed robber shot by Fayetteville police. The quick action that helped officers track him down. Then, an award-winning teacher charged with leading troopers on a 150-mile-per-hour chase. Only on WRAL, what he admits happened in his emotional interview.
I'll tell you when to expect a solid shot of spring temperatures and if rain will dampen your weekend plans.
Right now at 7, officials are trying to figure out what caused a horrific crash that killed a Harnett County deputy. Just moments ago, the scene cleared and the road reopened. This happening hours after all of this unfolded. Thanks for joining us tonight. I'm Ashley Rowe.
And I'm Dan Haggerty. In the last 30 minutes, crews towed the deputy's car away, one of six vehicles involved in this crash, including that tractor trailer. WRL's Aaron Thomas joins us now live after learning, Aaron, just tragic, this deputy was also a school resource officer.
That is correct, Dan. In fact, just less than 15 minutes ago, Harnett County Schools has shared with us that this deputy who died is Chris Johnson. He was a school resource officer over at Highland Middle School. You can now see it. I know it's pitch black, but this is Derrick Road. This was a road that was impassable for hours, but it just opened up within the past 5 minutes as crews did tow away the tractor trailer that was also involved. Let's get you to video. We actually caught the moments that the sheriff deputy's vehicle was towed away from on scene. We did see it was initially covered up with a tarp just to show you the severity and the intensity of this crash. We spoke with a woman who says that she arrived on scene moments after this crash happened, and she helped redirect traffic before crews arrived on scene, and she just talked about how bad it was, and she also mentioned how this particular road has been used as a bypass with Highway 27 being closed, so certainly an influx of traffic that's happened on this particular road. Now, State Highway Patrol, they're the lead agency. They will be looking at several factors as to what caused this crash. As for Highland Middle School, as they grieve the loss of this deputy Chris Johnson, they will have grief counselors for anyone who needs them. Back to you.
How upsetting for so many people. Aaron Thomas, live in Harnett County. Thanks, Aaron.
We are also following breaking news in Fayetteville, where police say they shot someone who robbed a CVS pharmacy. Officers learned a GPS tracker was placed in the bag of money the man had taken and were able to track him down on nearby train tracks. WRAL's Willie Denley is live in Fayetteville. Willie.
Ashley, I'm standing outside of the CVS where the suspect allegedly robbed this store at gunpoint before taking off with an undisclosed amount of money heading towards the train tracks where apparently shots rang out. Take a look at this video that was captured by Sky 5, and you can see how large of a scene it was here in Fayetteville. According to police, the clerks at the CVS put a tracker in the bag of money that was handed over to the suspect. That's how officers were able to locate him near the train tracks at the intersection of Ramsey Street and Chase Street, and that is also where the shots rang out. The suspect was taken to Cape Fear Medical Center to be treated for his injuries. We're going to continue to follow this story to see what injuries that suspect has and also to learn more information about how this situation went down. I'm going to keep you updated with what we know. Back to you.
Willie, thank you.
Let's take a live look outside right now, the legislative building in downtown Raleigh. A beautiful clear night, but it is going to be getting cold. Temperatures dropping down into the 20s in some parts of our area. Meteorologist Kat Campbell in the Severe Weather Center with the details, Kat.
The winter chill is back, Dan. We are wedged between high pressure and low pressure. And with the flow around these systems, we have a strong north wind. And you felt it throughout the day with the wind chill. The winds will be settling down tonight. But with the wind settling down, the clear skies, the dry air, it's going to be cold. 27 for the low in Raleigh, 24 in Roxboro, 27 in Rocky Mount, 26 in Lewisburg, 25 in Siler City and South Hill, getting down to 29 in Fayetteville and Smithfield tonight, and 26 in Sanford. We have another cold morning ahead on Thursday when temperatures dip into the upper 20s, but our low temperatures are going up this weekend and our highs certainly are as well. I'll have details on some 70s in our forecast coming up.
I like the sounds of that. Kat, thank you.
A Harnett County Beginning Teacher of the Year is facing charges after leading troopers on a 150-mile-per-hour chase. He's now suspended and is asking the community for forgiveness. WRAL's Eric Miller spoke with the teacher in an emotional interview you'll only see on WRAL.
Latrell McDougal went to high school right here, Triton High School in Irwin. He came back here to teach and to coach in the community he grew up in. But now his position is at risk as he faces 10 different charges.
A mistake. That's how 24-year-old Latrell McDougal describes the moments just after 2 a.m. Sunday that landed him in the back of a state trooper's car.
I was going home. Come home. I was going from Raleigh. Come home.
Warrants obtained by WRAL say the trooper first clocked McDougal doing 96 miles an hour on I-40. The documents say the trooper pulled out with sirens and lights flashing, but McDougal didn't stop. Instead, hitting 150 miles per hour, eventually exiting onto Highway 242, blowing through a stop sign and weaving across lanes. McDougal admits he was speeding, but says he just didn't notice the trooper behind him and insists he never drove 150 miles an hour.
He probably reached 150 trying to get to me, but I don't think he clocked me at 150.
McDougal says, as of today, he's suspended from his job as a math teacher and football and basketball coach at Triton High School, a position he says he's held for a year and a half. On his profile on the school's website, you can see he was recently awarded the 2024 Beginning Teacher of the Year and teaches honors classes.
Like I said, I still love the kids to death, love the students to death. Some still try to contact me. Some still asking if I'm okay.
McDougal says he's still committed to his students and is afraid that one night will erase years spent trying to do the right thing.
Because like I said, that's what I come from, man. It's just tough, and I know what it is. And I know what it is not having somebody that's discoloring certain people's lives. And all I do is try to help them for the most part. Like I said, never try to hurt them, never try to discourage them, always encourage them.
Bull says he's due back in court in March. Eric Miller, WRAL News, Irwin.
Five more dogs were found dead on this Chatham County property today. This is Sky 5 giving us a look, flying over the massive effort to remove 170 dogs from the grounds here. The sheriff's office has help now from volunteers with Bissell Pet Foundation and the Animal Rescue Corps. The sheriff called the operation a puppy mill there. Bissell Pet Foundation's director and of operations, Kim Album, says that the dogs will be taken care of and sent to shelters throughout the community and country for adoption after the criminal investigation that will follow. Two women are charged in this case.
New tonight, a retired North Carolina Superior Court judge says the verdict against the mother of a Michigan school shooter will likely have an impact on cases here in North Carolina. A jury found Jennifer Crumbly guilty of involuntary manslaughter. Crumbly's son shot and killed four teenagers inside Oxford High School in 2021. She and her husband bought a gun for him days before the shooting. I asked retired Superior Court Judge Carl Fox what precedent, if any, this sets.
You can expect, knowing what I know as a former prosecutor and a former judge, that some prosecutor in North Carolina is going to repeat what they've seen in this case and charge the apparent with a more serious crime. That's a felony where they're looking at actually going to prison.
Crumbly's husband faces identical charges at a trial scheduled next month.
The Raleigh Fire Department is investigating now after a rap video was filmed inside the fire station on Pool Road. In an Instagram post last night, the musician, CEO Showout, says that he asked to film his video for the song Fire Drill and said he didn't do anything wrong. The video includes profanity throughout the video, flashing lights on the fire trucks that are parked in that garage, as you can see. The fire department telling WRAL fire stations are open to the public and they're aware of the video. They're investigating, though, the circumstances around the filming. A statement went on to say this video is not reflective of the city of Raleigh or RFD's values. So still ahead, violence in North Carolina schools is soaring. If you look at the data, I'm going to go in depth on what appears to be a startling trend next. Plus, pay issues take center stage in Durham again tomorrow as leaders meet and staff plans to make another statement. The next steps in moving forward coming up. Yeah. Statistics on the news a lot. We use data because statistics are a great tool for understanding and giving some perspective to large-scale ideas and issues. Sometimes it's just a matter of math. For example, finding the median home price in Raleigh. For that, you just look at all the home sales for the month. Then you find the one that's right there in the middle. Half the homes sold for more, half sold for less, and that number in the middle is the median.
But other stats are more, well, abstract, like giraffes being 30 times more likely to get hit by lightning than people. All people? Or, you know, people who live in the same region as giraffes? Also, how do they know about every giraffe that's getting hit by lightning? It's not like the other animals can call 911 when they see it happen, that sort of thing. There are a lot of variables, and they can create a more complicated puzzle that can't really be summed up in a headline, unless you're the media, because we love doing that. For instance, the state just released crime data from our schools, and the findings drew some startling headlines, like school crime soars in NC public schools. It's now 38% above pre-pandemic levels. Here's a chart explaining the trend in our schools, showing that steady decline in crime over the past decade, then spiking hard and fast in the last 2 years, up 18% from just last year. Here's a list of what they consider crime and violence. Feel free to give it a pause and read over it. But some of the biggies are drugs, weapons, assaults, sex offenses, bomb threats, etc., things like that. If you take the cut and dry approach, according to the numbers, our schools are simply more dangerous. But as Mark Twain once said, facts are stubborn things, but statistics are pliable. Here's what I mean. Just before the pandemic, the state implemented the Say Something Anonymous reporting system, which has been very successful, bringing in thousands of tips that they just weren't getting before. The director of the Center of Safer Schools said as much, saying part of the increase is that now there is a mechanism to identify these things. In fact, there are lots of mechanisms now in our schools. Keep in mind, we now have more police, more cameras and weapons detection systems in our school buildings than ever before. We have spent millions of dollars to fortify our schools, which is interesting considering that the crime numbers are going up. Shouldn't they go down after that investment? Frankly, it's unclear if these changes have deterred crime or just increased the likelihood that these crimes are reported. But there's also a chance that it's doing both. We could look at Texas, for instance. Some schools there are now using surveillance tech to catch students vaping. So think about it. It's a tool that could essentially catch more kids in the act while also deterring other kids from doing it at all, meaning it is possible you'd see a rise in the number of kids caught vaping, even though overall fewer kids are actually doing it. The relevance of complex data relies on analysis. Let's look at another stat that seemed rather concerning, an increase in suspensions and expulsions. They rose across the board, short-term suspensions, long-term suspensions, and expulsions, some up 22% since the pandemic, and some numbers even doubling. And while that might seem like objective data, it's not. And to explain, I want to bring in WREL Education Insider Emily Walkenhorst. Emily, you and I have discussed this in the past, and punishment is done on a case-by-case basis in our schools.
Right. So generally speaking, there's a lot of leeway for principals. There's no table or matrix that says if a student does this, they have to be punished in that way. So basically, it's kind of up to the principal and could vary quite a bit school to school.
And the potential for this bias isn't going unacknowledged. For instance, the data is showing that Black students are being are punished harsher in many cases than white students. And the state has tried to figure out exactly why this has happened. They're trying to change things about it, but it does underscore that they know that there is bias that weighs into these numbers.
Right, they do know. And the thinking among a lot of advocates, people very involved in schools, is that students are just being treated differently, that a white student who talks back to a teacher might be treated differently than, say, a Black student who talks back to a teacher. So they've known about this. Education leaders really want to do something about it. But these numbers have been around for years.
Now, I've been spending a lot of time tonight talking about why we need to look beyond these numbers to get kind of the full picture and perspective on school safety. And you have unique access to some different perspectives because you know so many teachers. I'm wondering what you're hearing on the record, off the record. How are teachers feeling and what are their experiences like compared to the data that we are seeing?
Right, so I hear from teachers who talk about, you know, the kids really aren't doing so well right now. They've observed more kids behaving poorly or more kids who are just struggling emotionally. And there is some data kind of starting to bear that out. I mean, these statistics we've talked about today, which are more nuanced, but, you know, are coupled with teacher surveys that indicate a higher percentage of teachers just kind of going up every year. They do the survey, are saying saying students aren't really following the rules anymore. In 2022, the state survey said 40% of teachers thought students weren't necessarily following the rules at their school. So we do kind of see some signs in data that things are not okay.
Got it. Emily, thank you so much. I appreciate it. And I think that this context is important to fully understanding the big picture. Now, if any of you at home have thoughts on this or questions, you know how to find us. You can send me an email to dan@wrl.com. And I know this issue is very important to so many of you at home because safety at our schools is routinely a top concern for parents and students and teachers and everybody, so much so that the state is adding these threat assessment teams to scan for risks. It's being sold as something that will save lives. In today's world, that's something that we think about when we drop our kids off at school. I know I do, and one of the main reasons that parents want their kids to have cell phones in the classroom, cell phones. Some school districts are starting to ban them, even here in North Carolina. And I want to hear your thoughts on cell phones in the classroom. Tell me what you think about kids and those cell phones that they bring every day. I've been talking with some friends about this. I've been talking to young people, and I've been a little surprised at some of the perspectives that I've heard. And I want to hear yours. Please, here's that email once again, dan@wrl.com. Tell me what is on your mind, and we'll go in depth.
Another fascinating in-depth segment, Dan. You know, I love these segments because they really do make you think about the complexities of these issues. And if you want to get caught up on Dan's segments, don't forget that you can now listen to all of Dan's in-depth segments as a podcast. Find WRAL In-Depth with Dan Haggerty in Apple Podcasts or Spotify on WRAL.com as well. All eyes are on Durham Public Schools this week as the protests over pay continue. Seven schools were closed after sick outs yesterday. 12 others were closed last week. Tomorrow, walk-ins are planned with staff showing support for each other ahead of school. That's before the school board's special meeting scheduled for 6 tomorrow night and a work session scheduled for 5:30 on Thursday. A spokesperson for the Department of Public Instruction tells WRAL the state has no plans and no grounds to get involved in this pay dispute. Let's send things back over to meteorologist Kat Campbell. Oh, it's going to be cold tonight.
Yes, it is. We're at 27 tonight, but flip that number around. If you're not a fan, by Saturday, you're going to be at 72 for the high, a huge temperature jump on the way. We've seen a lot of these warmer days lately, and while it is actually common to see some 70-degree days in the Triangle during the winter months, we've already exceeded that normal number of 70-degree days during the winter, so we're just going to add to that number as we get into Saturday. We did have a pretty normal feeling day today for February. It's near normal again tomorrow, but by Thursday, a south wind kicks in. That's going to begin to warm temperatures up near 60, 64 Friday, 72 Saturday, and then 67 on Sunday, another warm weekend. Check out our WRAL Weather Watcher photo of the day. This one from Holt Lake. If you have a gorgeous sunset shot from tonight that you would like to share, please go to WRAL.com and search Weather Watchers so we can show those off on TV. We do have some clouds that are going to begin to roll in as we get into Thursday and Friday, but for now, you'll get to enjoy clear skies. High pressure is going to be building in from the west, and with high pressure right overhead tomorrow, we will get to see another clear blue day with near normal temperatures. Not quite as windy tomorrow, but still a light breeze with us. Thursday, high pressure near to start, but we'll see it begin to shift offshore. And with that, our south wind builds in, and that's going to start to draw in more moisture and some upper level clouds filling in on Thursday. For Friday, we do have a system approaching from the west. It's likely to stay west of us, so we've lowered rain chances on Friday to just 20%. Good news there with some of those milder temperatures. Outside, we're sitting at 44 degrees right now. We'll fall into the upper 20s by daybreak tomorrow. 7 a.m., it is 27 degrees. So make sure you've got your winter coat tomorrow and make sure that your kids are dressed in their coats at the bus stop as well. It's a gradual warming trend over the next several days, but as temperatures rise, our rain chances will as well. Saturday doesn't look like a washout. The 72-degree day doesn't look like it'll be a washout. I know a lot of interest there. A 30% chance of rain Saturday. That chance goes up slightly to about 40% Sunday. But Monday looks like it's going to be the wettest day as of right now, and we may stay unsettled early next week.
All right, Kat, thank you.
So the numbers are out, and the capital city is ranking high on the charts. Still to come, where Raleigh sits on the best performing city list and the qualities experts say we have here that drives us near the top.
Wake County teachers have a new spot where they can get supplies for free.
Yeah, the supply store run by Wake Ed Partnership opened today. Here it is, the new location on Capitol Boulevard in Raleigh, the former site of the Chevy car dealership. Demand for free supplies just keeps growing and growing. On average, Wake County public school teachers spend more than $900 out of pocket on supplies for students during the school year. That is too much. Mm-hmm. They need some help. So some new numbers are out today showing the median price of real estate in Wake County actually went down last month.
Hey, and you taught us 5 minutes ago what median means.
That's right.
The price went down by $15,750 to $436,500. Transactions in the core market were down roughly 17% for the month. The top transaction was a vacant lot on Sunnybrook Road in Raleigh for $132.9 million.
That's a lot.
Raleigh ranks high on a new list for best performing cities.
That's right. The capital city taking the number two spot on the Milken Institute's annual ranking based on strong job and wage growth and a robust high tech presence. The list also considers factors like access to economic opportunities, like housing affordability and broadband coverage. Austin, Texas came in at number one. I feel like we're always competing with Austin on these lists.
It does seem that way, doesn't it?
So two new otters are now calling North Carolina home.
Nobody dislikes otters. The two named Millie and Shiny are at the NC Aquarium at Fort Fisher. They're Asian small clawed otters. They made the trip all the way from Hong Kong to New York to now here. Millie is a female and Shiny is a male born in 2018 and 2020. The aquarium's goal is to help save and provide a better life for them.
Have you seen the videos where they're swimming on their backs and they hold hands?
It's so cute.
It is.
So cute.
Otters are the best.
Thanks for making WREL your choice for local news.
Our next newscast is at 10 o'clock on Fox 50 and back here on WREL at 11. Have a great night.
Keep watching WREL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.